You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Everybody, how you doing? It is Broman. We are back with Ask Broman episode 71, I think. It is June 4th. It's been a minute. Yeah, 71. It's been a minute since we've, you know, had a little podcast episode for you. Today, I am joined by my boomstick. He is a Mixer broadcaster. If you're unfamiliar with Mixer, it is a Microsoft-owned streaming platform, although it does not mean that you have to only stream Microsoft games there. It is agnostic in that sense. And my boomstick is one of the first people on the platform to break 100,000 followers, which for a new platform like Mixer or any social media platform, that is a big fucking deal. So we're going to talk to him today about Mixer and how he got started and how he approaches content creation, and then take some of your calls. So hi, buddy. How are you?
How goes it, man?
It's good, dude. Doing today? I'm doing wonderful. So my first question I usually ask people is, like, how did you get started? Like, tell me about you. Tell me about your approach to things. How'd you get started streaming or making content or whatever?
Originally, I had a blog and I wanted to write fairly serious. Like, I wanted to be the next one-man IGN. And, you know, I wanted that to incorporate everything, where it was movies, games, music, blah, blah, blah. And oh my God, is trying to keep up with all that stuff with a blog so stressful. And I was like, well, to incorporate some fun in it, you know, I can try streaming. And then, like, I fell in love with streaming, and I was like, blogging is stupid. I'm just only going to stream. And and so it's one of those things that I even put down streaming for a hot minute, and you know, I was going to try to write again. And then I started watching, oddly enough, I started watching Destiny streams.
Okay.
And you could imagine where, you know, what channels I started falling into, you know. I also was watching Resident Evil speedrunners like Carcinogen, SDA.
But yeah, I love, like, Carcinogen.
Yeah, dude. And I started watching guys like you, Goth, Wish, and I was just like, I'm gonna give it another swing. And, you know, 3 years later, here we are.
Gotcha.
Which I did start on Twitch.
Okay.
I had a year and a half on Twitch.
Okay, so that's actually something that would be really interesting to talk about. What motivated your decision to switch? Also, you got 100,000 followers on a new platform in a year and a half, so that's pretty fucking impressive. So,
I'm not mad at it, dude. Like, it's,
yeah, we'll touch on that.
You, it's 100K is still surreal, right? Like, that's literally, you know, one of my mods always puts it in like this. Like, I'm a big sports fan. He always puts it in this weird perspective for me.
Yeah.
Where every time I hit a milestone, he'll come to me and tell me I can feel a certain sports arena.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, when I hit like 30K, he was like, you know, you can fill up Tropicana Field in Tampa.
Yeah.
When I hit like 75, he's like, congratulations, you just filled Yankee Stadium.
I like that analog of translating numbers into real world spaces, because it gives it a really solid context.
It does. And, you know, and like with 100K, it's like, congratulations, you just sold out the Rose Bowl. And you know, it's just this super surreal thing where it's like 100,000 people on a platform that even, like, you know, sponsors and things like that aren't even necessarily sure to take it seriously yet.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people are kind of you know, I will say a lot of people are apprehensive because it is owned by Microsoft.
Sure. Which is dumb.
Just
that, like, from my side, I find that to be an unintelligent choice.
But that is a long conversation in itself.
Sure.
But it's it's just this super surreal thing that there are that many people that have, you know, and there's like, yeah, I think there's just like a handful of us now that have done it, and there's more on the way.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, it just shows that the ridiculous growth. And also, I think it shows the expansion of the medium as well. Just not Twitch, Mixer, or YouTube, but I mean, it shows that this is the kind of content people are gearing towards and want to see
live content
on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it just connects in a way that, like, you know, the autonomous, like, YouTube stuff just can't.
For sure.
But yeah, man, it's 100K is crazy, and it's starting to sink in too. Like, just hanging out in the stream, and you see like that number when you kick on, you know, your channel. and you know, it has this weight to it, because, you know, I've always tried to to understand that, you know, some people do hang on every single thing that I say, and I try to respect that, you know, where, and it's to the point now where, like, with that many followers and with that large a community, like, it's that much more serious to where, like, you know, you are, you know, something you say can be persuasive to people.
Sure.
You know, and
yeah,
it's just a very heavy thing that I feel.
That's good. That's good, man. So what motivated your transition away from Twitch and onto this new platform? Like, what, like, walk me through your decision-making process, because this is a question I get asked a lot. I always tell people to go where it's easier to get eyes on you so that you can build your community, right?
And that was 100% the decision. For those that don't know, before Mixer, it was called Beam.
Beam.pro?
Beam.pro, yeah.
Yeah,
even right. I almost forgot that, dude. Yeah, we used to make, you know, it's just like, oh God, why can't we just get the .com?
But yeah.
It turns out the .com is actually a vacuum cleaner company who very much does not want to get rid of that name.
Sure.
You know, a lot of money was thrown.
You gotta keep it, man. So, yeah. So you moved over before they rebranded as Mixer.
Yeah, I moved over probably about 5 months before the rebrand, six months.
Okay.
So essentially what happened was on Twitch, I was roughly at about 1600-ish follows. And, you know, I was a Destiny PvP guy. But a lot of mine, like, I wanted to entertain more than I wanted to win.
Sure.
And this at the time was my own ego. Like, I had a lot of growing up to do in this space.
Fair.
And I was like, you know, I'm not getting any traction. My buddy Nighttide, who's also a partner over on Mixer, he was like, you know what, I'm gonna check this Beam place out.
Okay.
And so he went over there and he was streaming, and like the low latency, it was just like we were actually having a conversation.
That was a big deal.
Mm-hmm. At the time, you know, everybody's caught up a little bit, or for the most part. Now.
So yeah, chat. So for those of you listening, low latency means like you're basically having a Skype call that you're watching, right? So it's instantaneous communication, which is something that Twitch just launched. Mm-hmm. So for the future record, for about 4.5 years on Twitch, your average delay was between 15 and 25 seconds, which makes it really, really hard to have a real time conversation with people. And it definitely impacts the way that you approach entertaining folks. So yeah, continue. So you go over to Beam, they have the FTL, they have the low latency streaming.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where it's just like, it's kind of a why the hell not, because you're literally at this point where I'm not gaining traction. I don't feel like I'm getting better as an entertainer. I am getting a little burned out. And I was like, you know what? Maybe just a change of scenery will be the thing. And, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like, partnership was the goal. Like, you know, wanting to succeed as a streamer was a goal. And I saw over there, like, the highest person at the time had, I think, like 32 viewers.
Sure.
And I was like, if I can even bring a small modicum of my community over, and along with like a handful of friends that were going to come over with me, you know, it's just like I could already be at one of the forefront people of this website as soon as I arrive. And
smart. You know,
and well, I mean, you know, it's one of those things, like, that was all our plan. Like, we had a team where I think it was like 5 or 6 of us total. And it's just like, host each other up, of course, network on our own. You know, everyone's an island, even though we're a team, but it's one of those things that, you know, that allowed us to go ahead and get a step ahead. And it also allowed us too that, you know, when we were in someone else's chat as a group or as friends, talking to each other along being in that community, ingrained us in that community already, because it's like, well, these guys are cool because they're getting along within my chat. So maybe I want to check them out. And that's one thing I never did well on Twitch. And that was part of growing up as a streamer, is like, I had to learn to network better. Like,
sure.
You know, like on Twitch, I was just hoping to get noticed. Whereas when I went to Beam, like, I just broke down that ego and I was like, screw this. Like, I got to go say hey to some people.
Yeah.
And so I started doing that, and it, you know, and it made all the difference. But that was the transition over, man. And 4 months in, I got partnered. And at the time, partnership requirements, and I know people are going to be like, wow, partnership requirements for the website were 300 followers and 30 concurrent viewers.
Solid.
Yeah, right? Like, you know, it's not necessarily that now as the website has grown. But yeah, man, I mean, that was the transition over. And I restreamed for probably about a week and a half, just trying to get over, you know, as many people as I could. Or, you know, I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of people because Twitch, you know, bleed purple. It has that culture of, you know, once on Twitch, you stay on Twitch.
Like, yeah.
It is the big dog. And I even had like a lot of hardcore viewers just like, you're not going to succeed over there, dude. Like, you need to stay here. You just need to grind it out. And, you know, it was one of those things. I was like, for my sanity, I think I need to do this. I need to give this a shot.
I think that you touched on something that's really important about feeling burnt out. And it's a discussion that people don't have very much. And that's like, but I think it's incredibly important. When you feel like your work, your hard work isn't being recognized or rewarded in any context, whether that's on stream or YouTube or whatever, it fucking blows. And like, as much as I talk about like being patient, I think that there's also like a practicality to saying like, I am obviously not going anywhere here right now and I have other options. So why am I not exploring them?
Well, I mean, not to interrupt, but my train of thought was Twitch is going to be there. If I fail here, like, I feel
also
like
true.
I'm starting over anyway. Like, I'm at the low end of the bar. So, like, if I fail here, I can just come back. Like, you know, I can, you know, it's going to be harder again. But, like, you know, half of zero is still zero. So, like, you know, I
exactly. I can, yeah. Half of know, nothing can, is nothing. So,
find my way back. Like, if it's already feel like punching clay, like, why not try something else and then come back to punching clay if that doesn't work?
Yeah, that's awesome. So you started streaming. You came over there with some friends, which I think is a key point. And you were more active in the community over there. Like, you were going in other people's channels and, like, just saying hey and, like, being fun and being friends with them.
Yeah.
And then, so was there, like, a moment? Was there, like, a takeoff moment or something happening? Or was it just a slow burn for you?
Well, it was a slow burn for, I would say, about a month.
Okay.
And then, for those that don't know, I think Twitch even has something like that now. Beam, or Mixer now, has interactive boards, which means, like, you know, you can create these buttons that people can hit. And I was, you know, and most people only used it for sound effects, where it's like, you know, it's like, he needs some milk! And it would just be a sound effect over their stream. I took it to the next level, and here's where I differentiated myself. I noticed that, like, a lot of people, you know, a lot of people will have, like, you know, quick scene changes where it, like, zooms in on their face or something like that. And I was like, well, why not incorporate that into my soundboard and actually make it like this moment within the stream itself?
Okay.
So I created a button called Rave Time, and I'm a big dude. And so, like, I would very much stand out at a rave because I'd probably look like a Kool-Aid man.
Gotcha.
And so I went to Party City or whatever one of those stores are, and I bought a couple of $1 glow sticks, and I had this rave scene gift behind me. And I'm not much of a bar person. I'm very much an introverted guy. And so I reacted as though it would be me at a rave, and it was just like, you know, I'd be flinging the glow sticks around dancing. I'd be like, oh, yeah, so good. Spending my daddy's money buying $9 bottles of water and blah, blah, blah. Like,
okay,
you know, just kind of skeptical, sarcastic comedy, which is kind of my thing.
Gotcha.
And people really dug it. And then, you know, that scene followed another scene. And, like, all of a sudden, like, I kind of became that guy who took interactive to its next step.
Okay, so you leveraged a tool that was available to you, and you made it belong to you. You took ownership over it.
Yes.
And that's really exciting, man. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So you pioneered this level of interactivity, and from that, like, that generated your growth. There wasn't, like, a game that came out that, like, changed everything for you.
At the time, it was still very much a website where you could kind of play anything. And if you had enough personality, you could get views. If you networked well enough, you could get views. Because early on the website, networking was literally 90% of your followers. You would maybe get one or two followers per stream and then get 20 offline from just going talking to other people.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah, it was. That's definitely changed now. It's very much stream first, network second, as the channel's grown too. But where I really, really kicked off, like I was already becoming one of the higher followed people, right around my partnership.
Sure.
But where my channel really took off is that I started getting that more, you know, what I call quote unquote, like a professional mentality. I was having just as much fun growing my community as I was playing video games.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see how I could take that to the next step. And like, you know, Friday the 13th came out, and like Friday the 13th for, you know, Mixer was like this, just almost like a godsend kind of game to where like, you know, it was kind of emergent content to where it's just like, you know, you could play within the game. Mm-hmm. But you know, you could do so many silly things in RP if you wanted to, or if you were good at the game, you could still show that off. Like that's where my channel really, really started taking off. So like June, July of last year, like I would average maybe 300-400 followers a month. And then like that was the first month where I went from like 300-400 follows to like 3 to 5,000 follows.
That's cool. And then you just sort of grew with the platform.
And then I grew with the platform, and then Fortnite happened.
Gotcha. So, and then Fortnite came out.
Yeah.
And I know Mixer has implemented some new tools that are hotly debated among people who stream on Mixer. Specifically, what I want to do with this conversation is make sure that we highlight the differences between Mixer and Twitch. So one of the big things that Mixer does that I like is they have ways to feature broadcasters on their homepage that don't just involve who has the most viewers or who is the oldest old boy that knows all the people that work in the office. So talk about that. They have something called Hype Zone.
So essentially what Hype Zone is, I know a lot of you guys enjoy PUBG. I know a lot of you guys enjoy Fortnite and things like that. What this does is it takes the lowest or the person that is closest to winning, and it highlights them on this channel. It Mixer more or less kind of has what's called a super host, to where the channel can be live, but also host your channel as though that's the channel live on that channel. So it's hostception, you know?
Yeah. It's like a feature. It's like being featured on the main page of a website simply because you're in a top 10 situation.
Yeah. And essentially it's the high, you know, we call it the highlight reel of Fortnite or PUBG.
Gotcha.
Where, you know, it's someone in the top 10, top five, and it gives them the exposure. Like, you know, people have made partner on Mixer now because, like, they were featured on that so much. People realize, well, hey, this guy's actually pretty good at this game. This girl's pretty good at this game. Like, let's just go hang out in their channel as opposed to being here. So, you know, I have my own mixed feelings about that, about Hype Zone. But, like, as a tool, like, for growth, it can be used correctly. Like my thing is with Hype Zone is that a lot of people just accept the fact that they're going to get those follows and those people leave. And I'm like, this is an opportunity to sell yourself to these people to get them to stay and be a part of your community.
It's exposure.
Yeah.
It's marketing.
And like, and the people that have done that have done supremely well.
Yeah. So I actually want to talk a little bit more about Hype Zone. So would you say, and this is something I hear a lot, that if you're not streaming Fortnite and you're not streaming PUBG, if you're not streaming something that's competitive, would you say that it's worth it to stream on Mixer?
Yes. For the simple part is that there's always going to be Twitch works because Twitch is so large, and for so long it was the only thing that there's all these niche cultures on Twitch. Because it was the place for people to go, and that's where these cultures were created. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's the opportunity for people to create those cultures on Mixer, and like slowly but surely, like those cultures are being created. You know, it's just a longer step for that kind of website because these games did just happen to take off. A lot of people started playing them. But like GTA 5 RPers have done very well. It's one of those things, like, I'm not going to lie. Like it is a tougher uphill battle. It is one of those to the point where I think even Mixer itself is like, when they look at partnership, I think those that are like full variety or, you know, quote unquote, true variety, if you want to say that, are going to be, they are given a little bit more leeway towards partnership as opposed to someone who plays PUBG or Fortnite.
So you feel like on a platform level, Mixer is moving towards supporting folks that have different approaches to content rather than just the standard esports. And that's not me knocking Mixer. Like when I started streaming on Twitch,
I mean, that's business, dude.
Yeah. Like, when I started streaming on Twitch, it was League of Legends or Dota. And if you weren't streaming League of Legends or Dota, people would ask you why you're streaming at all. You know, that's just kind of the nature of things as it's growing. There is this is what people come to watch, you know, come to watch for. And if you're doing things differently, you're going to get blowback and all that other stuff, but it's worth the investment, time-wise, because you get a chance to build the culture there as opposed to just participating in it.
I mean, that's what I tell people when they come to my channel, because like, I don't call myself a variety streamer necessarily anymore, but I do. It's one of those things that I understand that Fortnite's not going to be forever, man. And I'm an entertainment streamer first and foremost. I let people know that from the get-go. I'm not going to get as many wins on Fortnite as a lot of people are. I'm going to get wins, but I'm going to make you laugh more than I'm probably going to get wins.
Sure.
And so, like, I, you know, that's why a lot of people, like, they just try to go full variety. And it's just, I truly believe in finding a game that you can build a community around and then slowly but surely introducing different games at the end of your streams to let people, you know, see what other kinds of things you can do.
That's good advice.
Yeah, that's what I've been, you know, doing probably the last handful of months is just like, you know, I'll have someone, are you going to play Stardew Valley again? And it's just like, yeah, you know, if we get time kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, it's a lot of people see Mixer and they're already comparing it to Twitch, where in all honesty, I would compare it more to Justin TV. We're still in a Justin TV phase than we are in than an early Twitch phase.
So that was the next question I was going to ask you. Is where do you feel like Twitch is, or where do you feel like Mixer is in its growth cycle? So you still feel like it's a great time for people to get in.
Oh, dude, and get 100%.
Involved. I would say the same thing. It's interesting because now that I'm, you know, now that I do this and I have a lot of people who contact me and they stream on Mixer, or they stream on Facebook, or they stream on Twitch, and I'm hearing about all the, you know, the conflicting points, and people are saying like, oh, it's just so saturated, blah blah blah. And it's hard for me to, you don't have people who have millions of followers on the platform yet, so no.
Yeah.
But getting the perspective from someone who's still streaming there. So what would you say to somebody who is considering checking out Mixer or thinking about streaming there instead of, you know, Facebook or Twitch? Like what would be your elevator pitch?
Honestly, just become part of the culture. Go around, say hey to as many people as you can. And just get to know these people. It is still, it's, you know, early on, it was kind of a family feel. It's not really that anymore because we do have a lot of people. But I mean, that's going to be any platform. That's going to be anything that continues to grow. We are still in such an early phase that you can do very, very well. And that, you know, we're still adding a lot of partners early on. So it's, you know, and this kind of goes back to the variety thing too. Like if you are the type of person that works hard and networks correctly, you could become Mixer's co-carnage. You could become the Dan's Gaming of Mixer, because you built it from the ground up. You were there while it was still growing. Like Mixer, in my opinion, still hasn't got to like that explode snowball point.
Oh, for sure.
So where you know, it's trying to get people to come to Mixer is still a sell. And
oh yeah, you know, yeah, for
and,
sure.
And my elevator pitch is that there's still so much room to grow. They actually just added a hype zone for Rainbow Six. So and
gotcha.
They added, or for April Fool's Day, they actually had a chill zone where they actually highlighted variety streamers. Mm-hmm. And that was such a big hit that I think that's eventually going to be something that, in my opinion, that they work on.
Gotcha.
I that's not NDA information or anything like that. In my opinion, I think that's going to be something that's shown off, because variety streamers do want to be on the same leg as Fortnite and PUBG streamers. Now, it's just like, you know, comparing yourselves to like League of Legends when you are playing a smaller game, like you just have to understand the viewership is going to be with those games. Like, you know, and you kind of just have to make peace with that. But there's still so much room to grow. Like, that's the reason why there's, you know, people are considering it more saturated, because people are going there, you know, trying to get that gold. And, you know, it's there. It's a very welcoming community. It's a community where you could go almost in any stream and say hello, and chances are the streamer will say hello back to you. And I'm not saying that's not on Twitch either. I'm just saying, but that's very much the culture of inclusivity.
Yeah.
Like bringing people in, like understanding that we are a growing platform, And we want to, you know, we want people to come in and grow with us.
I love it, man. So I'm trying to think if there was any other primary things I wanted to ask you. If you've got, do you have any one big, before we start taking questions, do you have like one big piece of advice for anybody who's going to start streaming on Mixer, let's say tomorrow?
If you start streaming on Mixer tomorrow, I would say, I always say consistency is key. Have a consistent schedule, but have a consistent attitude. Understand that you need to learn who you are as a broadcaster. It may not be who you are at the grocery store. You may be like, I'm an excitable guy, but I'm also a chill guy. And, you know, I used to try to cover up the excitability a little bit, trying to be, you know, more informational and things like that. And like, you know, I said, screw that. Like, I started letting me be myself, you know, and I would say, you know, just fill it out, understand what you're going to go through and find your voice, but network first and foremost. As you're starting, networking is more important.
So you'd say that being involved in channels, like in chat rooms and, yes, and going around and introducing yourself and becoming part of the community is 100%. Infinitely more important than just putting in the hours right now.
There was a mod for a couple of different channels where, like, she was so good at networking that she had 1,000 followers and never even streamed.
Gotcha.
So it's one of those things that, like, if just going in and saying hello and becoming a part of a community will absolutely get you just that first big step, man. Like, it's still small enough to where you can, if you frequent someone's channel, you will be noticed. Like, yeah, there is no channel big enough right now that will
people won't know your name if you're there frequently.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. And the thing is, like, you know, it's still small enough too that people talk and like people shout each other out, where it's just like, you know, this dude's been in the channel for a month, like every day. Like, you know, I finally saw he was live. And so, mm-hmm, I went in there. He's an awesome guy. Go check him out.
I love it, man. That's awesome. All right. So I have about 30 more minutes left and I want to get questions in here. So chat, if you have any questions, and I'd like to keep this specific, so, you know, maybe streaming on a different platform that's not Twitch or just learning more about Mixer from, you know, this fantastic guy. There's my Discord link in chat. That's going to take you directly to a voice channel. And Boomstick and I will field your questions. So, yeah, let's get, we just had someone leave. That's the guy I was going to get. let's get, this is Full Metal. So we'll see what Full Metal's question is and we'll take some time and chat with them. Hello.
Hey, man.
Give me like 2 seconds.
2 seconds. Okay.
No, you're kicked out forever. Banned.
Yeah.
Oh.
We'll answer some general questions people have. Mixer's owned by Microsoft. But no, you do not have to only stream Microsoft games there. They stream whatever you want. And yeah, there's a mobile app.
Platform agnostic.
Yeah, it's platform agnostic. There's a mobile app. All that good stuff.
PC. So.
Not going to lie, you scared the living hell out of me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to scare you.
Yeah, boo.
I was talking to some people on Xbox, and you just popped up. I'm like, oh, hold up.
Yeah.
But anyway, my question was, what's the best advice you can give someone who's been streaming for 5 years and hasn't found much success?
I'll go first. My advice is that you need to go try to do what you're doing somewhere else to find out if it's you, AKA like there might be something you're better suited to do, or if it's where you're at, AKA the platform you're on is the bad one. Go ahead, Boomstick.
I would say if you've been streaming that long and you don't feel like you're growing enough, I would say self-awareness can be key. Definitely be introspective, maybe even watch your VOD and see what you feel like you can do better as a streamer. But yeah, I would definitely say, you know, if depending on your community, go somewhere else and see if you can kind of make a landscape there.
Yeah, because see, at first I started on Twitch, mm-hmm, and I don't think it really helps that literally my internet down here is complete trash.
Bad internet is not good for streaming. Yeah, 100% true.
It's very rough.
Yeah, so I ended up switching to Mixer about a month or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's been going a lot better than it did on Twitch, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, are you doing anything different on Mixer that you weren't doing on Twitch?
I'm literally not doing anything different.
not doing anything different. You're not going around saying hey or anything like that more. Well, I mean, that's where the saturation point, that goes to show, like, that's a saturation point issue for you possibly.
Yeah, because literally what I'll do during my streams is I'll play, and anytime I have, like, try I'm in like a safe spot or somewhere, I'll check chat, just lay there and just chat along with them.
That's good, man. Well, I think what Boomstick was saying is that, like, right now, one of the best ways to sort of break through and get more people involved is being more active in the community rather than just streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's
I'll go watch other streamers. I'll even go help them out with like advertising something like that, like on some of the servers that I have on Discord.
I mean that's awesome, but I mean, like, are you actively talking with them, trying to have a conversation, being a part of the community?
We'll go into a voice chat and all the time. Just sit there, chill out, just mess with each other.
That's called making friends, man, and that's how streamers grow early on.
Matter of fact, one of the streamers that I actually became really good friends with past, like, couple months, but he's actually the one that told me to come check you out.
Oh, really? Who is it?
Roman, that is.
Oh. Thanks, man.
It was Doc Tot Gaming.
Gotcha.
He's a Mixer streamer.
But yeah.
He was actually the one that told me to come check you out.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, like,
you were actually the one that helped him out a lot whenever he was starting up on Mixer.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that the general advice for people is always going to be the same. You know, networking and becoming a bigger part of the community is what matters. I think that the default understanding is I just need to stream as much as I possibly can, when in reality, that is a detriment until you have enough viewers for you to actually, you know, run the show that you want to run.
Yeah. See, what I really like doing is I like checking out other people's streams, see how they have their stream set up, and see how I can improve mine. That's how I usually do it.
I mean, that's one of the best ways to go about it, dude. Like, you're actively learning what other people do and what other people can do successfully. And, like, there's nothing wrong. Like, so many people think, like, I wouldn't say emulation. Like, you don't want to emulate someone to the point where you kind of lose your own personality. But you can kind of see how they do things, and you can get your own ideas from that to make yourself better.
Your own perspective.
Exactly.
Like, not really doing exactly what they're doing, but taking what they're doing and putting it into your own perspective, your own words, without actually changing who you are. That's what I really get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, recontextualizing everything. It sounds like you have the right mindset. I think that if I was in your position, I would really listen to Boomstick's advice, and I would, you know, devote time every day to going into channels and just talking. Like, saying hey, like, adding value to people's community, and then eventually you will have that moment where you're going to have more people in your channel than not, and it's going to allow you to run the show that you want and see where it goes from there. I think that a lot of people ignore how much groundwork you have to lay to get a solid base of viewership. Like, I was involved on Twitch actively in, like, every single speedrunning channel on Twitch for like 8 months.
Jesus.
Before I started streaming.
In all honesty, and this is from my experience, in all honesty, like, the actual, like, ground part of it, it's the same whenever it comes to, like, streaming or, let's say, doing a YouTube.
It's the same thing.
It's the same ground you have to set in place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to get started like that.
Well, I mean, so many people don't understand that. They think if I just put out a quality show, all of a sudden, like, this word of mouth is just going to carry me into success. And the thing is, man, like you got to introduce yourself to people. Like I had an ego when I was on Twitch to the point where I was like, I feel like I'm a good enough streamer. People should just magically find me. And that's not how it works. Like,
that's just going to throw you in a hole, my dude.
You're not going to be able to pick up the pretty girl if you don't say hey first.
What I really noticed is I've been streaming and doing YouTube for probably about 4 or 5 years now. And what I noticed is as the years go by, the older videos actually get a lot more popular than, let's say, your newer stuff.
Yeah, I mean, things build over time.
Yeah, because I had some of my videos from like Black Ops 2 days where they would literally get pretty much little to none views whenever I first put them up. But then I checked them like not that long ago, like 3-4 years later, and they're like quadruple the number they were before.
Yeah. Things grow over time, man. So, yeah.
It's pretty amazing how things grow over time.
For sure. All right. So we got other people we want to get to, man. But I think to sort of sum up the advice that Boomstick and I gave you, you know, I think getting out there and laying more groundwork and then continue to be patient. If what you're telling me is that you're doing everything we're saying, then the only thing you have to do is self-edit and then be more patient. You know, work on improving your content and work on networking, dude. Do you want to let everybody know where they can find you on Mixer?
Yes, it is XDG Full Metal without a space.
All right. Fantastic, man. Well, you have a good day, and best of luck.
You too, man.
All right.
Hey, buddy.
It was nice chatting with you.
Nice talking to you, too. All right. Let's get this. This is Sil Kid. Let's see what Sil Kid has to talk about. Or he's going to run away. You see that? Sometimes they run away. It's great. It's my favorite. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely. What can we do for you, my man?
What's up, man? Okay, awesome. Yeah, so I actually am a martial arts school owner, and I just started streaming on Facebook probably about a month ago.
Okay.
And I love video games and stuff, so a couple questions I have. It seems like Facebook's doing pretty good, but as a martial arts streamer and everything, what would be some content that you or anybody else would be interested in seeing in regarding to martial arts / fitness? Like, I want to get something that's kind of similar to someone like Vegeta, but okay, martial arts focused. Like, what do you have any ideas as to what you think would be interesting?
I think, well, first of all, I think, like, right off the bat, like, that's legit. The first thing that comes to my mind is, like, there are so many fucking hokey, like, people who make like ridiculous ass martial arts stuff that doesn't make any sense. So like something you could do is be like debunking, like, hey, this guy says that you can do this with your arms and like everyone will fall over if you stare at him really hard, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, I'd like, you know, it's a little tongue in cheek, but like it gives you, in my mind, like that gives you validity, right? Like just recognizing that there's this goofy side of your community. But like, martial arts Mythbusters is actually awesome. I think that especially if you're streaming, like Bajira's approach is, you know, he has a core game that he streams constantly. You know, he's a World of Warcraft guy. And then the content that he produces around fitness is sort of a secondary community that he's built over time. And the thing that you're going to find is that there's always going to be crossover on that. Like, you're always going to find people that are interested in martial arts that also like video games. And it's just about building a strong community that understands that these are two aspects of your life that have a lot of value to you. But I mean, something as simple, like instruction is always easy. Interaction around the space. Like, I'm not really the best martial arts person. My answer to this question is you should look at, you know, what are the most common questions, concerns, forms of entertainment, approaches to making content in your space, and answer the questions that are there, you know,
especially live streaming. I would see what kind of consistency,
yeah,
or the things you do that, you know, the most consistent to add that to your show on a daily, couple daily basis, you know.
Definitely. Yeah, so I mean, the biggest plans that I've had so far, by the way, the martial arts Mythbusting thing, that's a wonderful idea, because I kind of feel like that's my goal as a martial arts instructor anyway.
But, I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah. One of the things I had an idea of was to stream my morning workouts and stuff. That way a lot of my students mainly could like see like what the instructor does as his workouts in the morning, because, you know, a lot of class time is spent practicing technique, not necessarily getting in shape. And that's another thing is that there's a lot of martial arts instructors out there that are really bad out of shape, and I don't want to be one of those people. But yeah, so that's a great idea and everything. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what other questions I have. My biggest interest is like I really want to do the video games and stuff with it too. Would you focus mainly on the martial arts for the channel? Do you think that would be
what's your goal? Something?
My goal,
like, do you want to utilize this to get more people into your gym? Do you want to utilize this to, you know, grow your personal brand, or do you want to utilize this as a second form of income? Like, I think the answer to that question depends on what your end goal is. And so what is that?
Double-edged sword. I would like it to be something that could eventually become a secondary income, because I am a full-time Taekwondo instructor. So I kind of have a little bit of extra time in the mornings and everything. And then I would also like it to become a feeder for my program and stuff and draw people into my business and everything.
Yeah, I gotcha. So, I mean, I think it's just about going out there, like, and meeting the needs of your local community as well. Like, I don't know what other, you know, Taekwondo instructors are around there, but another approach you can have on Facebook is to target the content that you're creating to, like, the 5 miles of, you know, the 5 mile radius around where your gym is at.
Okay.
You know, that's something that a lot of people don't use very much on Facebook.
Think
is
globally,
like this,
act locally.
The local approach. That's how we advertise for King's Coast. You know, around, you know, Port Jefferson, New York, where we roast and ship out of. We spend a lot of our advertising dollars there because we want to be known as the local coffee company, because we don't have a problem with national and even international reach because of who we work with. So, you know, making this content and then contextualizing it down to a local level as well would be really cool. Like, you know, this is what I do every morning to work out in this town, you know?
All right. Yeah, that sounds awesome. Yeah, another idea that I had, I just remembered this, was actually bringing on, because I'm actually a fairly low-ranking black belt. I'm a third-degree black belt, which it's fairly low in our organization.
Sure.
We have a lot of high-ranking instructors that, you know, I train under and everything. But doing something kind of like a interviewing the master or whatever,
yes,
kind of segments and stuff. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That way, not only am I advertising for myself, but I'm advertising for my entire organization.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of is something that I had an idea of. What's some advice that you have? Because I know this is primarily a question and answer segment.
No, it's okay, man.
You have on that.
You're thinking while you talk. I think that the best thing that you can do, especially when you're an instructor, is to continue to put out as much, you know, positive information about what you do as you can for free. And the idea of, you know, interviewing people who are higher ranking than you and, like, maybe making a podcast and walking everybody through, like, this is, you know, like, this is the journey from, you know, having every, you know, karate master that you have around you or Taekwondo master that you have around you talk about their journey from, like, this is how long it took me to go from starting to finishing. Like, you know, this is the struggle that I had. These are the techniques that it took me forever to nail. These are, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because everybody has struggles. Nobody is perfect. But taking that stuff and exposing, like, the authentic reality of your craft to people has so much value.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, awesome. I mean, I think that designing all of your content around the background of what you're doing is a smart move, because then you become the source of information that everyone's going to about it. You know, you start off doing this and you become, you know, like the local karate newspaper, Taekwondo newspaper. I'm sorry, I keep screwing it all up. You become the local newspaper of your craft, and then that slowly grows, you know, regional and then national and international. Like, it's about building out from where you're at right now. So if your goal is to have this be another income source, but you don't want to move completely away from doing this as, you know, your career or as your job, then, you know, more deeply ingraining yourself inside of the culture and making content around the culture that you're a part of will pay insane dividends if you're willing to put in the work.
Awesome.
And
okay.
I mean, the one key advice too, I would very much say, put out the content. Since you do want this to be kind of a Mythbusters kind of thing, you know, answer the questions that you would have had, you know,
when
you're on in your.
So, yeah. 100%. Are you at your gym right now? Is that why I'm hearing, like, screaming children in the background?
I was so hoping you couldn't hear that. But yes,
oh, no, we've been hearing it the entire time, bud.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, I actually this is my first year doing the summer camp. I got like 8 kids here right now, so they're running around like a bunch of hoodlums on the floor right now, swinging foam swords at each other. So it's
fantastic. Awesome. But,
I mean, all I'm saying is Karate Hunger Games, right? There's your content.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's so much fun stuff that you can do. Like, video games are great, and if they're your passion, that's awesome. But I think that, you know, when it comes to fitness and when it comes to martial arts, I think that it has such a wider reach than I think you're trying to work with.
Okay.
So don't be afraid to attack it from every possible angle. Like, if your goal is to build a personal brand, just streaming, like, streaming can be part of it. Like, streaming your workouts is awesome. Streaming, you know, your Q&A stuff, that sounds awesome. But I think, you know, making sure that you're active on Instagram and you're active on Facebook, interacting with people and building a brand is, like, especially the idea that you had about interviewing, you know, the people who've trained and taught you. That's a fantastic podcast. Like, you know, so there, you have a wealth of stuff. And I think that it's really rare that someone comes on the podcast that has more, more ideas than there are ways to present them. But for you, you could literally attack this any way that you want, and it'll probably be successful.
I like that. Well, I tell you what, bro, man, that's great advice and everything. I won't hold y'all up any longer, especially with the kids screaming in the background. I got to go get them on their leashes again, so to speak.
Sure, man. No problem.
He means literally.
Yeah, no, literally.
Yeah, we got to get him kicking some bags or something. But thanks for the advice and everything. And Boomstick, congratulations on all your success and everything.
Thank you,
as
man.
Well.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Awesome. Okay, so we have time for like one more person, and then I have to go do this meeting thing. I hate having time pressure when we're doing this. It always makes me sad. So let's get. Oh, this is a great name. This is Catchable Orphan.
Hey, bro, man.
Hi, what's up, man?
Long time listener, first time caller.
How you doing, man? I recognize the name for sure.
Oh, thanks. I had a couple of questions. I know that you guys always talk about networking as this very, very effective, very crucial. But I'm wondering what more can I do with my off stream time? Because I always hear you talk about saying things done off stream are as important as streaming itself.
Okay.
And obviously, there's only so much time that you can. There's only so many streams that you can be in and communities that you can be a part of. So obviously, if you have
there's limits. Excess amount,
right, exactly. If you have excess time, what are other activities that you can invest your time in?
Sure. What do you do off stream, Boomstick?
When I'm not networking, as far as networking goes, when I'm not actually on any streams networking, that's when I'm hitting up people's Twitters. That's when I'm hitting up Discords, you know, or even playing games with other streamers or something like that. I'm always in a state of trying to make my stream the best it can be, whether that's actual peripherals, whether, you know, a better mic, a better arm, better scenes. Can I make this look cleaner? I'm always in some sort of iteration factor or cycle, trying to make the stream better when I'm not actively talking to people, letting them know, you know, not necessarily who I am, but, you know, how I can help them, how I can talk to them.
I would agree with all that. What other content are you making?
So I primarily spend my free time, streaming on Twitch, but then I have a YouTube channel as well. It's kind of a secondary thing. I don't usually spend a lot of time towards it, just because you know, I only have about 20 hours a week to commit to any sort of content creation. But I have a Twitter. I got that's just about. Actually, that kind of leads into one of my other questions, which is do I need to have a social media on? Like every site, like do I need an Instagram?
This is where I was going. So here's how you can spend all of your time. Okay. Developing and cultivating community everywhere.
Yep.
When I say the time I put in off stream, it's not just tweeting. It's answering all 50 DMs that I get every day. It's answering every email. You know, it's making YouTube content, making Instagram content. learning.
Doing Instagram videos has grown my Instagram profile more than I ever.
And if you're playing Fortnite right now, you're not putting out daily Fortnite content on Instagram, you're just leaving your free 300,000 followers on the floor. That's just like, let's be really honest about that.
So
when I say investing time off of stream, it is investing time in building community everywhere, learning how to be a proper, you know, content creator on every single platform, you know, because everybody likes to think that it's just one thing that's going to win them the game, and it's not. So if you've, you know, spent your time on Twitch and you've spent your time streaming that day, it's time to hop on Instagram or anywhere else, because like that literally you have a $40,000 studio in your pocket.
Yep.
And if you're not, you know, you can either be, you know, creating / documenting your life. You could be vlogging. Like everything that you do and that you learn how to do is a net positive. So instead of focusing on just making one thing successful, putting as many pieces of content out that you have every day is what's going to matter more in the long term, because it just takes one of those things taking off and it changes the entire game.
And the beauty of it is, like, you can cut down part of your YouTube video and put that on Instagram. You can share the content across all the platforms, and they can help you grow just as much as if you were doing unique content a lot of times.
So making stuff that can basically apply to every single platform that you're on.
Yes.
So like for example, you'd have a YouTube idea, figure out in the process of making that video, okay, how can I put this on my Instagram? How can I put a clip of this on Twitter? How can I?
Yeah, exactly. You
know? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Distribution. Okay. So you focus your time on creating, and then you focus the rest of your time on distributing it everywhere that you can.
So if I'm understanding what you're saying, it sounds like what you're saying is instead of considering yourself, oh, I'm a streamer on Twitch, consider yourself as a content creator and someone that's making stuff. And then you're not necessarily just a streamer. You're a person that makes these things, and these are your distribution methods.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how you win long term.
Okay.
It is a mistake that people make often to try and force one platform to be their everything, because your platform could go the way of Vine and explode, or it could fall out of favor like Snapchat. You know, I am under no delusion, and nor should anyone else be, that Twitch is such a powerhouse that it's impossible for it to fail, because companies fail all the fucking time.
That's anyone, dude.
So spreading out is the smart move.
Be that content octopus.
Yeah.
But no, okay. I mean, I would say too, like, you know, my Instagram, like, I even have pictures of food and stuff like that. I'm not going to have that on my YouTube or my stream, or I might have it on Twitter. So, I mean, like, you know, while I say you can share these pieces of content on across the board, you can have like unique things. That way your existing community would want to go actually check those things out as well.
Give them value to find in your other outlets. Okay. So
show them how awesome you are in all aspects.
Okay. So my next question regards to that would be, do you think that there is a particular platform that is underutilized, or that is kind of ripe for the... I know you mentioned Instagram earlier.
Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
They're vacuous, empty voids of gaming content.
Okay. Yeah, because I was gonna say everyone's on Twitter. You know, you post something with a hashtag. You know,
yeah, it's gross. Twitter's for tech nerds. Yeah,
it's loaded. No one's gonna find you in there. So Facebook and Instagram are what you put you said Facebook and what was the other one?
Facebook and Instagram.
Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Facebook is literally something I've been doing about a month now, and like I that's something I have to do better at.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a lot of things to keep up with, but if you can keep up with all of them, it's great.
It's kind of like diversifying your, you know, retirement portfolio.
Yeah, exactly.
You put all your stock in Amazon, you want to put it
Well, I mean, and you also have to see it's advertisement for everything else that you're doing. because I don't know how many, since I've started posting things to Instagram, like video wise, I don't know how many people I've gotten in my stream now. It's like, dude, saw your Instagram video, love it. Here's a sub. And, you know, and then like they start lurking, they start being a part of the community, and then they're still on Instagram also, you know, enjoying that content as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so I only have one final question.
Sure.
So I know that a lot of streamers, they always get asked, and I know you get this question all the time, you know, how did you start out? What was it like when you started out?
Sure.
Which leads me to think that, okay, something that would be valuable later that I can make now is making sure to, you know, document, you know, okay, well, this is what I was doing in my first, you know, year of, you know, being a content creator, et cetera, et cetera. Because down the road, if it turns into something, people are going to be like, well, how'd you get here? And then you have this piece of content already made. You can be like, hey, there's, just go here. Here's later info. So it's kind of like you invest time in that now and it pays off later.
Yeah.
Idea.
As a small example, like I even told him this in private, to where, you know, sometimes you have to take risk with these things, especially switching platforms. 3 years ago, I would have, like, it would have been made my day completely and utterly if he would have just like liked a reply to one of his tweets that I made. Like, now I'm on a podcast with this dude because I actually switched platforms and paved my own way. So like, you just have to be also willing to, you know, take the risk on other platforms, and you never know where you might find that growth that just escalates you into a different kind of bracket.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people are looking at Mixer right now thinking that, oh, that's, you know, that's the gold rush or the potential promised land. Do you guys see anything, like, aside from Mixer, obviously, do you guys see any, or are there any other things that that you would think of that, oh, well, when I was, you know, a smaller, you know, content creator, if I had made this, then this item or this piece of content would have been really valuable now to have that, you know, kind of like how, you know, you
Instagram
line and then
Instagram. Yeah. Same answer.
Okay.
Yeah, Instagram. If I've been making Instagram content for as long as I've been on Twitch, I'd have a million followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. You know, but I ignored it and I made fun of it. And I thought,
oh my
like,
God, like if you would have had mm-hmm. like your raid finishes, like right as they were happening.
Yeah. Like
Instagram.
The world first. Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. I know. 100%.
Sorry. I don't mean to throw salt in that wound.
No, it's okay. I wear it. No, it's a big regret. It's motivation for me because it's one of my biggest regrets. Like Instagram and Facebook, putting your content everywhere. That is what you need to do. And if you're not willing to do it, that's fine, but you're limiting yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for answering my questions. I really appreciate this stuff that you do here, bro, man. It's
I hope it's helpful.
Answering questions. It really is. It really is. And I'm sure a lot of other people would agree and say that. It's a great help. So thank you.
Thank you, man. Well, you have a great day.
And you as well.
All right. Okay. So Boomstick, you do your little outro thing. Give everybody one last piece of advice if you got it, and then we'll wrap it up.
Like I was just telling him, be willing to take risks, guys. Understand that you can always go back to things most likely that you are comfortable with. But when you branch outside of that comfort zone and actually take a risk on yourself and your own content, it usually pays dividends that you couldn't even think of or imagine.
Never so be afraid to go back to zero.
Yeah, be willing to invest mm-hmm. in yourself
mm-hmm.
and put yourself out there. Allow yourself, like, this seems silly, but allow yourself to succeed. Put yourself in positions that are going to let you succeed as opposed to trying to break through this invisible barrier that you assume is there.
I love it. Thank you so much. Everybody, if you want to listen to or follow, or if you loved the conversations with My Boomstick, you can follow him at mixer.com/myboomstick. And it's like shtick.
Shtick.
Like some comedy.
Shtick.
All right. Shtick. I assume it's
peanut butter in your mouth.
Yeah. Shtick. I'm assuming it's the same everywhere.
Yes, sir.
All right. So that is on all social media platforms. I'm Professor Broman. You can follow me at Professor Broman everywhere. Thank you so much for listening. As always, the only thing I give a shit about on these podcasts is that you share them with somebody you think needs to listen to them. So if you could go out there, more than you could write a review, more than you could subscribe, if you could share this with somebody that you thought of while you were listening, I would appreciate it immensely. Have a fantastic day, and we will catch you next time.
Hey, everyone. It's Broman. I just wanted to take a quick minute and do a little sponsored plug here for the podcast. As you know, we've been using Discord for all of our podcast needs and for the call-ins for the entirety of this show. Discord reached out and they wanted me to sort of bring some points about their platform to you all. So we're doing that. I love people that enable content creators and gamers alike. Discord has created a fantastic platform. You can check it out at discord.gg. I'm discord.gg/broman if you ever want to chat. But the whole point of Discord is to make it incredibly easy for you to create not only a server, but a community around yourself and your friends, a perfect place to play together. And if you're making content like this podcast, it's a great way to have one source audio where you have complete control over everyone who is talking. So if you haven't checked it out, I would appreciate it if you did. They make this podcast possible, and they're incredible people there. Peace.